We're going to read a very familiar passage again this morning, John, the 15th chapter, while you're turning, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, as already been said, for the beautiful day you've given us, for the safe travels here, for a good place to come, for the love of our brothers and sisters, for all the great benefits of this salvation you've bestowed upon us. We thank you, Lord, for your love and kindness toward us. We thank you for that you ever did call us and bring us to a place of salvation. Thank you again. Now help us, Lord. We're going to look into your word. I help me first, that I might be claimed by the help of the Holy Spirit to preach your word. But then I desire the help of the Holy Spirit for each one here to hear your word, that it might be beneficial to them in their walk with you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a time of low spiritual condition. And by that I mean there's more people moving away from a true knowledge of God than there is people moving toward a true knowledge of God. I see people getting more and more confused about what really serving God is, more confusion about what it takes to please God, more confusion about what it really means to be a Christian. At the same time, there's a lot of religion. It's not like we're without religion. There's a lot of religion. There's all kinds of things being put forth under the name of Christianity. Yeah, I won't go there, but I noticed that almost every candidate that runs for office is a Christian in name. But there's all kinds of things put out as being Christian. There's all kinds of solutions being offered today, even within Christianity, for what ails us. It seems that many know something's wrong and are grasping for answers. Now, there's a whole lot of aspects of real religion. That's why we need to be in the house of the Lord. That's why we need to be in service, because there's a whole lot of different aspects to be explained. But all of this misses the mark unless we have the heart of true Christianity. You can't build a house without the foundation being under it. You can't build what needs built in true walk with God, a true relationship with God, unless you have a correct foundation. Today, so much religion, so much Christianity, is what I call ritual. And by that, it's going through rituals and things as if they have to appease an angry God. That's their approach to religion. And some of it's real wild. You just bow once and say one prayer and he's happy. Others of them have to jump through all the hoops. But all of them are focused on just trying to appease an angry God. The real heart of Christianity is being brought back into a real relationship with God. Yes, there's ritual. Yes, there's do's and don'ts. Yes, there is a life to be lived. But the heart of it is knowing God in a real relationship with Him.
That's right.
Let's talk a little bit about that this morning. John the 15th chapter, verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father's a husbandman. Yes. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, you're clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, is withered, men cast gather them and cast them in the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken unto you, that your joy might that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus tells us the reason he's telling this, that they can enjoy this great salvation, that his joy remain in them, and their joy be full. Amen?
Yep.
If you notice the whole emphasis of this passage, it is that the vine The branch is dependent on the vine, right? You read the whole thing over and over and over. He's saying the branch is dependent on the vine. That means we are dependent on Jesus Christ for our very life.
Yes.
Amen? It emphasizes over and over that we abide in Him and He in us. That we have no spiritual life in and of ourselves. Listen to me here. Salvation does not impart to you like this is spiritual life. Then you get salvation. And now you got it. It ain't like that. Salvation is bringing you into a right relationship with God. The only way we have spiritual life, it's not something's been given us. The only way we have spiritual life is His life flowing through us.
That's right.
Amen? If we're cut off from the source, we no longer have life. The life of Christ flowing through us is how we have life. Listen to me. Salvation is not something you have and possess spiritual life in and of yourself. You hear me? Not even as a gift from God. It is only as we continue to draw that life from Him that we have spiritual life.
Yes.
That's the whole point of this. He said, if the vine's cut off, they don't have no life. When we get to spring, and we're pruning a few things now, you go cut a branch off a tree. When the life comes back up through that tree, the branch that's on the ground is going to be dead because it's not attached to the source of its life. And that's the same with us. It's only as the life of Christ flows through us that we have spiritual life. That's how we bear fruit. That's how the fruit of the Spirit flows from the vine to the branches. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 says, is the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Again, such there is no law. These fruits of the Spirit that makes attractive the Christian life, that makes joyful the Christian life, that makes it heaven on earth, come from Him to us.
Yes.
The works of the flesh, if you'd read there, are entirely different.
Yes.
Amen? Works of flesh is all based in selfishness. Anger. All sorts of other debauchery that comes from the love of self. This is where we also receive answers to prayer. Notice verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. That's a great promise, isn't it? Ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. But there's also a sobering thought in this passage. Those that do not abide in him are removed and burned. He said, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withered. Men gather them, cast them in the fire, and they're burned. This is not an optional thing. This living with Jesus, this relationship with him, him abiding in us and us in him, is not optional. There is no other path. This is the way to spiritual life, to heaven. Amen? Spiritual life here and hereafter. Part of God's purposes in dealing with us in life is to accomplish this. God don't always work to make us rich. God don't always work to make us healthy. God does not always work to make us popular. You hear me? God does not always work to our benefit in this life. God is working to our benefit to enjoy spiritual life. And if there's things in your life, if success, money, power, relationships with others, whatever it is, if that's going to cost you your relationship with God, it needs pruned away. And that's what God's working on. Amen? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's the first part. We ought to be concerned about bearing fruit, right? Because we're not showing fruits of the Spirit, we ought to be concerned in danger of being taken away. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, purges it, that it may become more fruitful.
Amen.
God's working in his vineyard, working on you and me to make us more fruitful.
Yes.
He's working on you and me to be more like him in every way.
Yes.
To exhibit the fruits of the Spirit in a deeper way. Sometimes these things are accomplished through suffering. Sometimes through hardship to recognize our need for Him. Amen? I tell you, I've lived for God long enough to know that not every lesson that I've learned living for God has come easy. Not every lesson I have learned that has advanced me in my walk with God has been an easy lesson. Amen? Some of us have the knife taken to me, purged, pruned at times. God's helping us come to a place where we can show the fruits of the Spirit in a greater way. God's helping us come to a place where He can more freely answer our prayers. Amen?
Yes.
What do you mean by that? Hey, if you're going a path away from God and God answers your prayers, it might confirm in your mind that you're on the right path. God can't do that. Amen? God can more freely answer our prayers when we're on the path He wants us to be on. And that's what He desires. God often has to remove things in order for us to be more fruitful. Sometimes they're a part of us and they're deeply attached and they don't go easy. Amen? Sometimes they're things that we love more than we ought to. Things that we trust more than we ought to. Things that keep us from trusting Him and becoming what we should be for Him. Amen?
Amen.
Here's the heart of true religion. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. The heart of true religion is a real relationship with God. That's what God intended. That's what God wants. If you look at this entire created universe, it's the only satisfactory answer for why God created people the way He created them and why He created the universe the way He created them. Amen? God created us as fallible human beings, knowing that a good portion of us were going to choose sinfully and end up lost forever. How do you reconcile that with a God that's love? I'll tell you how you do. Because God made a way they didn't have to be. God created this universe because God is love. What He desires most in return is ones that can see Him as He really is. In His beauty, in His love, in His goodness, in His fairness and His holiness. And respond to His love to us with love back to Him. Amen? That we would repent of our sinful selfishness. That we would accept that salvation and be brought in the right relationship with Him. So that at the end of all this creation, when it all comes to a close, God will gather to Himself those who voluntarily, genuinely loved Him. And they will go to be with Him in a perfect place forever and ever. Amen. And the rest of creation will vanish away. Those who rejected Him will end up in a lost eternity. The heart of true religion is a real relationship with God. That's why He came and died, to demonstrate His love. It's what He works toward. That relationship is described as us living in Him and Him living in us.
Yes.
Conversion or justification, getting saved, is just the beginning. That's just the entryway. That isn't the arrival. That isn't the done deal. That isn't the end of it. That's just the door opening in. Doing good, living right, is the evidence of this relationship. The result. Not the forerunner of it. It's the result. It's what follows this relationship. It's what gives evidence of this relationship. The heart of true religion is a real relationship with God. Now, human beings would rather have a list of 10 do's and don'ts, no matter how strict or how lax they choose, they'd rather have that than the responsibility of maintaining this relationship with God. Because most religion usually devolves back to ritual and away from relationship. And by saying relationship, I'm not ignoring the do's, don'ts, and the ritual, because true religion, that follows. Obedience follows the real heart. Amen? It's as we abide in Him and He abides in us that we have a real relationship with God. It's this relationship that is the heart of everything else. So what does it mean to abide in Him? Well, it means we live with Him. We live in His presence. We live in His love. We live in His favor. Amen. Doing those things that are pleasing.
Yes.
Living in Him means that we recognize that we have no spiritual life apart from Him. No hope of heaven. No hope of life here. Apart from Him, He is our only source of life, both here and hereafter. Without Him, we can do nothing. That means you can't properly advance your career. You can't properly advance your marriage. You can't properly advance any of the things that pertain to this life only without His help and His blessing. You certainly cannot advance your relationship with Him, your hope of heaven, your life with Him, apart from Him. We can do no spiritual good to others apart from Him. Amen? I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That means we look to Him for everything, trust Him for everything, see everything we receive as being from Him. Amen? We see God in all of our life. As Acts 17:28 says, for in Him we live and move and have our very being. He's our life. He's not part of life. He is our life. Amen? He encompasses all of it. He's above all of it. He's in all of it, through all of it. It's not something we add on. It's not something we pick up and drag with us. It is our life. Amen?
Yes.
Abiding in Him means living in Him and living with Him. You live your life talking to Him, aware of His presence. In communion with Him. That means we go through life with an aware. You know, if He's in us and we're in Him, it would stand to reason we'd be pretty aware of Him, right?
That's right.
Well, that's what living in Him means.
Yes.
And living in Him, living in us, it means we have an awareness that He's with us all the time. He's in us. We're talking to Him about every area of life. Amen? We're aware that He's with us and watching and sees everything we think, do, and are. It means we do those things that keep us in fellowship with Him. Amen? We don't go contrary to Him. We don't do those things we know displease Him. Listen to me now. This ain't for the super saints. This is the heart of the matter. This is the very foundation. Without this, we don't have salvation, folks. You hear me? Listen to me. Everything else is built on this foundation. This ain't just for the super spiritual. This ain't for ones that want to go beyond the elementary things and really get into this Christian life. This is the foundation. All the rest of it's built on this. Without this, there is no rest of this Christian life. Amen? Apart from this, we do not possess spiritual life and we do not possess eternal life. That's a serious matter. If any man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch withered. Men gather them, cast them in a fire, and they're burned. Amen? It's by communion with Him, being aware of His presence, talking to Him. It's both by God's Spirit and God's Word that we abide in Him. You need God's Word. Amen? That's the beauty of the Sunday School Hour, folks. That's where we are able to talk and dissect God's Word. We can ask questions. We can comment. Because it's getting to a place of really wanting to understand what God said and what He expects of us. He said in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and be done unto you. His Word abiding in us means it becomes part of us. It's incorporated into our life. His Word, how what He thinks, what He said, what we ought to do, what we ought not to do becomes part of us. We live out His words. It becomes our life.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
Matthew 4:4, He answered and said unto them, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need to give diligent attention to knowing and doing the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen? Diligent attention. Not because it's a ritual, but because it's part of living in Him and Him living in us. Amen? Sin separates from God. Always. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Obedience. Having God's word become part of us. Obedience is a necessary part of having the abiding presence of God in our lives. Obedience is the evidence of our love. Amen? It's not a ritual we go through to try and earn His love. It's a ritual we go through to show that we truly love Him. Amen? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. One of the reasons we sometimes do not see answers to prayer is our lack of truly abiding in Him. This is a powerful promise, the answer to prayer. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. That's a pretty powerful promise, isn't it? You know why he can safely say that? Because when we abide in Him, what we ask is going to be a whole lot more closely aligned to His will. When He's in us and we're in Him and we're communing with Him, His words are in us. What we ask is going to be more closely aligned to His will. Not only that, but the heart of our prayer will be, not my will, but thine be done. Amen? Therefore, He can freely answer our prayers.
Amen.
God's glorified. He said, herein is the Father glorified. God's glorified by us abiding in Him. He's glorified by answers to prayer. When God answers prayer, God gets glory, right? He's seen as the real and living, the prayer answering God. It shows that we're His disciples. It shows the power and the character of God. Amen? That He is good. That He is faithful. God's glorified by our bearing much fruit. Amen? It shows the power of salvation to change us from being selfish individuals to being ones whom the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What's there not to like about that? You get around a person that's filled with those attributes. It's attractive, isn't it? It's an attractive thing. This salvation glorifies God by making attractive the way. By the change that is in us, seeing God's character come out through us. The fruit of the Spirit, His character lived out through us, makes attractive salvation. It shows the desirable traits that salvation produces in one that really knows God.
Amen.
Oftentimes, salvation is not correctly portrayed because too often people that claim it are not bearing the fruit that ought to accompany salvation. Is that fair?
Yes.
Finally, this is where real peace and satisfaction and joy is found. You've heard once testify of the goodness of God, the love of God, the satisfaction that's found in Him. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
Amen.
Now, this whole dissertation Jesus gave about abiding in Him and we in Him, having these words abide in us and be lived out, I mean, all that, He's saying, keep yourself in my love, obey, if you love me, you'll obey. All that, He said, so your joy can be full. What's joy? Well, the dictionary says it's the emotion caused by the obtaining of or the expectation of something good. You know, something good happens. That feeling you get when something good has happened to you, that's joy. Or the expectation that something good is going to happen. It's a pleasurable feeling that's caused by success, good fortune. It's a gratification of some desire or some good possessed. Or the expectation of possessing what we love or desire. That's joy. You all know that feeling. I mean, you get a little bit of joy if you get a new car. You get a little bit of joy if you acquire something you've been saving for or wanting for a long time. There's joy comes by obtaining or having something good. Amen?
Yes.
It's happiness. It's gladness, it's exaltation, it's exhilaration of spirits. All those are words trying to describe a joy. And Jesus said, my joy I give unto you, and I'm saying these things that you joy before. Now who don't want to have joy? Come on, everybody want to have joy, right? Everybody wants their joy to be full, right?
Yes.
It's a pleasurable feeling. It is. It's a good thing to have joy. He said, what? Spoken these things so that your joy might be full.
Amen.
Almost every human being in this world is seeking to be happy, to be secure,
yes,
to find joy,
yes,
in life. That's really... almost, and you know why? Most of them ain't trying to be sinful. Most of them are just trying to do what they want to do because they believe that's the path that's going to bring joy.
Yes.
That's why they choose that. They don't choose to sin to be evil. They choose sin to please themselves because they think it's going to bring them that happiness and joy. This passage tells us that it's the presence of God that brings joy. Amen? It's knowing God loves us. God cares about us. God's working for our good. Amen?
Amen?
It's knowing that we have a life, perfect life, forever and ever after this life is done. Man, any of you that ain't very far down life's path, I got news for you. This life is not a marathon, it's a wind sprint. It is a short little dash. It is a run. And I know some of you, it looks like it's a long way ahead and it looks like it's a long time, but I can tell you, it don't take no time to get there. By the time you get out of high school and think you figured out something in life, it's all winding down. Yeah, really. You get to 60, 70, 80 real fast. If you're there, you know that. But the presence of God brings joy. It's this joy that gives us strength by strength, day by day, and confidence in Him. It's this joy that gives us assurance and peace. It's this joy that gives us satisfaction and contentment in life. It's this joy that makes this Christian life enjoyable. It makes it happy. It makes it good. Amen?
Yes.
It ain't getting rich. It ain't having lots of things. And I'm not saying there ain't no joy in those things. There is some thrill in all those things. But the real abiding joy that all of us can enjoy is the presence of God. And it will supersede all those other joys. All those other ones do fade, do become less important. But this one continues to rise above that.
True.
He said, I told you, abide in me and I in you, that your joy, that His joy, would remain in us and our joy be full. You want to be happy? Well, yeah, everybody want to be happy. Now you know the secret of how to get there. You can quit searching. You can quit spending all your money and quit running around because here already you have the answer of how to be happy. You have the answer of how to really enjoy life, how to be joyful, how to have contentment, how to have satisfaction that everybody's running around searching for. You have the answer. And that's the message of salvation that we ought to be demonstrating day in and day out to the world around us.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
We're so little effect because so little of us are showing fruits of the Spirit in the manner we ought to. So little of us are enjoying the fullness of salvation the way we could. So where do you start? We start with you. Purpose. To begin every day by talking to God. That's how you start. You talk to Him. Formal prayer, yes. But talk to Him. Ask Him for His help in every part of it. If you're working on the car, if you're working on the house, if you're in your job, if you're in relationships, in the family or outside, ask God for His help. I go into meetings, I have to sell stuff to make a living. And I ask God, grant me favor with these people. Now that doesn't mean they're always going to buy, but I do want to be in their favor. That they would have an opportunity to hear me out. Amen? I ask God, give me wisdom of what I ought to do, what I ought not to do. Give me wisdom in knowing how to handle myself and handle life. That I talk to Him, I thank Him, and I make a point to genuinely thank Him for my meal every time. And to ask Him to bless it for the health of my body. And that's another thing, as you get older, you understand the health of your body is not quite as automatic as it used to be. But I ask Him for that. I see Him in every part of life. Every good thing that happens, I see it as being from the hand of God. Every time I have a success, I see it being because God helped me. Not because I'm smart, not because I did anything, but because God helped me. I see my future. I see everything about me through the lens of God's love for me and God's care for me. And that gives me joy. And it gives me contentment and satisfaction. Amen?
Yes.
Pursue a real relationship with God. Abide in Him. Abide means live, by the way. Live in Him. Live your life with Him. All day, every day. You're doing things that you know displease Him. Quit it. Quit it. People you really love, you don't do things continually that hurt, do you? If you do, it shows you love yourself more than you love them. Right? Things you become aware of that displease God, quit it. Amen? Immerse yourself in His Word so you know what He thinks, how we ought to live, what we ought to do, what we ought not to do. Amen? Make it a part of your life. This is not just for super saints. This is not for how to become super spiritual. This is how to know God and make heaven your home. This is real religion. This is the foundation that all the other parts of religion, it is a multifaceted and complex thing at times. But this is the foundation that all of it is built on. Without this, it's just so much problem like the rest of it. Amen? This is the answer to what ails us, folks. It's what answer to what ails us in the church. It's the answer to what ails us in our society. It's the answer to what ails us in our world. Amen? I can't do it for you. I don't even know if I can create an appetite. I try hard. That's one of my desires, is that you'd have an appetite, that you'd want this, that you'd want this in a greater way in your life. But it's what God wants too. You begin to pursue this, Satan's going to battle you, but I tell you what, God's going to be right there to help you. Amen? Pursue a closer walk with God. Immerse yourself. Learn that He is life. Don't add it on as a part of life. That is life. Amen? Everything else is just a part. That is life in the truest sense. I pray God help you. Abide in Him. And He in us. Foundation of real religion is a real relationship with God. And I hope we're challenged to pursue that in a greater way. Don't let it lag. I know every part of life tries to tear us apart and distract us from this. There's so many things in life you have to do. But don't neglect the most important in the things you have to do. Don't let the important things detract from the most important thing. Amen. And that's living with Him. May God bless you. I ask you to stand.